Jesus knew this was the deal. This was the hang-up. This was the problem. This guy wanted a quick fix, Jesus. He wanted a quick way to get eternal life. And what Jesus is saying, listen, the roadblock you have is your concern for stuff, hanging on to stuff.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Randy's a counselor and coach, and your advocate for the family. Today is the conclusion of his series, God's Intention for Your Money. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and I do welcome you here to the Intentional Living Center. We're really pumped on this series, 3 days of focusing on God's intention for your money. You talk about a felt need. You know, we put programs together and say, got to touch a felt need. Well, this is a great, big, giant felt need in our lives. And maybe it's a felt need that hurts or a felt need that you feel pretty good about, but it's certainly the felt need. And we come back here at Intentional Living to focus on God's intention. What's His goal? What's His purpose? What's His intention? And then we talk about developing actions and the habits, decluttering our lives, and then getting the support around us that we need. These are some of the steps of intentional living. And we're going to continue this series. I'll take you over to our teaching studio in just a moment where I recorded this along with our staff and visitors a while ago and continue the story of the rich young ruler that you have in Scripture where Jesus, he could look right to the heart of this guy and see that the issue was about wanting to hang on to stuff. It doesn't make any difference, a little stuff or a lot of stuff. But when we put anything before Christ, certainly that's very problematic in growing our faith. So we're going to get back to the story, wrap it up today. And by the way, you know, you all have been calling, you have been going online, you have been joining in to help us out here in December to wrap up this year strong. I want to say thanks. With about 20% of all the support coming in that's needed for the year since Thanksgiving to the end of the year, thank you for stepping up and sharing a love gift with Intentional Living. It means a lot to me and to our team to know that we're together on this journey. Thank you for going to theintentionallife.com. All right, let's get back to our teaching. And then he goes on, because Jesus knew, he knew exactly where this man was coming from, so he sets him up. You ever noticed how God sometimes allows us to get into situations, almost feels like a setup, you know, like he's going to teach us a lesson, but we've got to go through it to learn. So Jesus goes on in verse 19, he says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he answered this young man, he said to him, teacher, all these things I have observed from my youth. And then Jesus looked at him and said, one thing you lack. Got him. He was set up. He said, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. Now we know the end of the story in verse 22, but he was sad at his word and went away grieved. Why? Because he had so many possessions. Jesus knew this was the deal. This was the hang-up. This was the problem. This guy wanted a quick fix, Jesus. He wanted a quick way to get eternal life. And what Jesus is saying, listen, the roadblock you have is your concern for stuff, hanging on to stuff. Well, if the Pareto principle works, if this 80-20 principle works, I think it's important for us to come back and say, you know, if we're to be followers of Jesus Christ, and it's true that I'm going to get 80% of the joy in my life from 20% of the investment, it brings me back to thinking, you know, God's intention is that we give 10%. Does he need 10% from us? No. I mean, is he sitting in heaven wringing his hands because the economy is down and somewhere or other, you know, he's going to have a bailout program? This isn't the way God operates. He does this because he knows it's an act of worship for us. It's a realization that everything belongs to him in the first place. And then paying ourselves the 10% is good stewardship to take care of our family and prepare for the future. See? To be able to provide the kind of support for our families that they need and the kind of needs that we have for the future. And then to live on the 80%. You know, when I think back myself, I'm at a stage now where the kids are out of the home. We've got all the college education behind us. All the big expenses of life are behind us. We've been through it, you know. And I look back and I think about, I don't know where half of that money went. I mean, I couldn't tell you right now, but I couldn't tell you, where'd it go? Do you realize that the average American will, in their lifetime, pass through their hand $2-4 million will pass through our hands. And most of us have no clue where that's gone. See? When I look back over my life, I'll tell you what I remember. I remember sacrificing so we could put our kids in Christian school. You know, at that time when you have three kids and you're putting out to put your kids through school, sending them to mission trips. I look back and can remember those times when we would go camping, one time going camping. I've told you the story. We, dummy me, not knowing how to camp, built our little campsite on the bottom of the hill, and the rainstorm came in the middle of the night. Water tends to go downhill right into our tent. And I said to Donna the next morning, why are we doing this when we have a perfectly dry home? But you know, it's not how much we spend, it's the time we spend as a family. I can remember some of those dumps we'd go stay in hotels, you know, with the kids when they were little. We went over to Lake Havasu when our kids were little and found a dumpy little hotel. But we spent the weekend there and went out on the lake, you know, and I've told the story. Derek, our creative one and adventuresome one at 3 years of age, took my camera. He wanted to know if it would float. Threw it over the boat. I'm saying, float. I'm like, memories. He's still alive, by the way, and here today. So, but those are memories, see. I don't know how much the hotel cost. If it was $20 or $50, it couldn't have been much. They left the light on. That's all I know, you know, kind of a thing. But some memories. The reason we have trouble with finances so often is not because of how much we make, but it's our attitude toward it. If we start to realize that the bang for buck is in the front end. You know, the people who make millions of dollars aren't happier than those who make less. They just spend more trying to be happy. And when I look at our lives, and I think we're all at different areas of financial security and all of that, I understand that everybody's in a different place. But if the Pareto principle works, if this 80-20 principle works, then it comes back to saying, I'm going to commit that I'm going to use the front end of whatever I get. Isn't it interesting? The front end should be a tithe. That's the biggest bang for buck you're going to get, to be an obedient to Christ, to tithe. The spiritual impact and the lives that are being changed and the obedience to God and the act of worship, that's a huge return on an investment of 10%. Let's be practical about it. Saving 10% now for the future, and for those of us who are older and haven't done that, we may need to save a larger percentage because we know that it's interest and time that work to make a retirement or an investment work. So for young people who are here or for those who are viewing this or listening to this and you're a young person, get started. Be faithful with paying yourself that 10% in an investment of some sort. Don't wait. Don't think I'll do it when I'm in my 30s. I'll do it when I'm in my 40s or I'll do it in my 50s because it gets more difficult and the time is shorter. But for those of us who are older, if you've not been doing it, restructure your finances in a way to say, I'm going to save more. I'm going to put more away. There's a discipline that comes with finances.
Thanks for listening to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy Carlson will be right back. Today's teaching is just a portion of a multi-part lesson to help you be intentional for your life. To see how you can receive a complete copy of today's teaching on CD, go to theintentionallife.com. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Do you know the number one way to be intentional with your finances?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Parkey Thompson, our intentional financial coach.
It really is a secret. However, when most people are exposed to the secret, they are still very reluctant to try it. Back in the Old Testament, the king was told his cure was to dip into the river 7 times. Now, he was very reluctant until persuaded by others to even try it. The secret to your being intentional? It's cash. When you use cash over plastic, credit, or even debit, you become intentional because all you have is all you can spend. Cash has a psychological aspect that makes us manage intentionally when we truly use it. Why were your grandparents and great-grandparents successful with money? They knew and used cash. For Intentional Living, I'm Parkey Thompson.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, with a name like Intentional Living, you gotta believe that Dr. Randy wants you to be intentional. And you'd be right. This month, he's helping you to be intentional for your life. And when you become a monthly member, you'll not only get Dr. Randy's monthly coaching CDs, but you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes 2 of Dr. Randy's books, Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the IL wristband. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call anytime 1-888-888-1717 and press option number 4.
Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you heard on the radio today, but all sessions of this entire study. Just go to theintentionallife.com to find out more. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy and the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center.
Now, we could talk about all of the practical elements of paying off your house early and getting out of a car debt. You know, you've heard all those things. You've read those things. It's common sense. When you're paying high interest rates on credit cards and when you're paying interest rates on mortgages and double mortgages and things that add up, eventually they eat you alive financially. God doesn't want us to be in bondage to these things. And we all should have a plan to get out of debt. Do you realize if you pay just a little bit extra on your mortgage every month, it goes right on the principal, pays it down quickly. We're not going to be happier because we get that new car. We're not going to be happier because we spent more money on going to this restaurant that costs 5 times as much as this restaurant. It's who you're with in the restaurant that makes a difference. You've been in the expensive restaurants and there's miserable people there. You know, in fact, we were on one of our ministry cruises and we had a group of people that we were spending time with to minister to on the cruise. And during one of the lunch breaks, Don and I, we were in another dining room and we were with another couple who were not on our cruise. Very wealthy people. As we talked to this man, he was a retired businessman. Very wealthy. He said, oh, we'd cruise all the time. We just call up and whatever it is, we just get on a cruise and go. These people were not happy. They were miserable. As they shared with us, it was like we just had to get out of the house, do something. You know, as I walked away, I'm thinking, it's not the cruise that makes you happy. It's who's on the cruise that makes you happy. It's who you are as a person. I can be as happy driving a $10,000 car as a $50,000 car. We can be as happy going to an inexpensive restaurant as an expensive restaurant. We can be as happy spending time with our family on a vacation at home as opposed to going somewhere else. Now, obviously, people have different means, and so they have different expressions of what they can afford to do. But we have to follow a principle. And the basic principle that we teach in Intentional Living is doing the next right one thing. In 10-10-80, it says, give 10% because that's a tithe. For the Christian, we call that a tithe. For a non-Christian, a person who might be listening, you're not a follower of Christ, you might refer to that as a gift. But to us, it's a tithe. It's a commitment, an obligation, a privilege, an act of worship, and then saving a minimum of 10%, and then living on the rest. When we sit down to do our budget as a ministry, we always start with the end in mind. To be good stewards, we're not going to borrow money to pay bills around here. We don't borrow monies to pay your salary. We don't borrow money and pay interest to pay the light bill. We don't borrow money to keep the radio station on the air. If God supplies, then we will spend it for ministry. But to follow this same principle, we're very careful to make sure that we build into the budget that cushion that allows for times when things don't always go as well as you'd like. Things are struggling, the economy is down, giving is down, whatever it may be. Because we think that's a stewardship. It is a stewardship. And the same kind of stewardship that we should have in our own lives, our own families, when it comes to finances. Now, again, all of you are different. Some of you are single moms. Some of you are single people. Some of you are married. Some of you have been in deep debt. Some of you have been through bankruptcy. Some of you have been through messes in finances. And you're thinking, well, it's just not as easy as you're making it sound. It's a decision. We all have a certain pot of resources that go through our lives. We all decide how we're going to spend them. We all decide how we're going to use it. And I would say that no matter where you are today, you get started. I heard someone last night made the statement, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. But the second best time is today. And so wherever we are, if you didn't start 20 years ago planting the tree of 10-10-80, today's the day to plant the tree, to say, starting today, I commit. That's intentional living. I wear the wristband. What's the one thing? The one thing is to be good stewards, right? God's given us a wonderful opportunity in living in this country. He's given us a wealth beyond any generation in the history of the world. We are wealthier people than in any time in the history of the world. And we as Christians should be exemplary in how we use our resources. And I talk to myself, because we can all live right to the edge. Instead of backing off and saying 10-10-80 is an entry point, a minimum, to be able to, I believe, be intentional with our finances. Boy, I'd love to hear your stories, those who are listening or viewing, to hear your story. Share with us. What are you doing to get out of debt? What are you doing to be intentional? What are you doing to save? What are you doing to give? What are you doing to follow the Pareto principle to be intentional with your finances? I'd love to hear it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the resources you do give us. And for some people, in a lifetime, there may be $1 million or $2 million that pass through their hands. For others, it may be multi-millions of dollars. And Lord, we know that how we handle the stuff that goes through our hands, the resources, the assets, the things that you allow us to control in our lives, really become a reflection, a spiritual reflection of our hearts and our attitudes and who we are. May we be intentional. Lord, this teaching on 10-10-80 is just a simple formula that reminds us that we're faithful in the small things. If we're faithful in the things that you give us, that you're faithful in your blessing. Lord, thank you for all of those who support this ministry as an overflow of their love for what we do and the teaching that we have. May you bless them today. And as a team here, as a staff, may we find joy in using the resources you give to each of us to be good stewards. So if we didn't plant the tree of good stewardship 20 years ago in our life, may we plant it today. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Well, we're live once again back in our Intentional Living studio. And that's wrapping up 3 days on God's intention for your money. I hope you find it to be helpful. By the way, all of our programs are archived and available for you when you go to theintentionallife.com. We're going to go to Cheryl on the phone, standing by in just a moment, really struggling on the verge of a divorce because of finances. And we know that counselors will tell us, and my own experience of working in counseling with people, that money is at the core, or certainly one of the symptoms that shows up in a marriage that's in trouble. So we'll get to Cheryl in just a moment. Before we do, As we wrap up this week, now that we're in December, I just want to say thank you. I've had a chance this last year, my wife and I, to travel. We've been in conferences over the last 4 or 5 years. We've had like 25 or 30,000 people in conferences. We got some great plans coming up for 2017, by the way, for conferences to help you and your marriage and your family, your finance, to live intentionally. So be listening for those. But I just want to say thanks to those of you who are standing with us financially, making this program and this ministry possible. And I'm just challenging you to come and be one of about 20% of the need to be met here in December with your best love gift possible for intentional living. $100 or more would be so valuable. If you could share $1,000 or more, that'd be fantastic. If it's $50, thank you. Whatever it is, come and join us at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call 888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press number 4. And by the way, we appreciate your calls at 888-1717. That's how we hear stories like this one.
Things that I've learned from you, I've been intentional in my finances, going through a struggle of possibly losing my house. Took your key points and just really started working on things financially and living intentionally for Christ. I've worked on intentionally with my finances. God has saved my house. And just really want to thank you for what you've done.
You talked about what we are doing intentionally in our life, and I wanted to tell you that I listen to your money stuff every morning, and it has really inspired me to live intentionally in the area of finances. My husband and I are working right now to pay off our debt, to pay it off completely, and at the same time saving money, and it has made a huge difference.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. Let's go to the call. Cheryl is on the line in, Michigan with a question today. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. What's your question?
Well, I'm torn between leaving my husband and staying with him. Oh. We've got several issues. He's definitely changed over the years, and a lot of the people that have talked have hit a lot of different same issues that I'm having. Hiding income tax money, his raises, his bonus, secret accounts, secret bank accounts, secret credit cards, locked phones, emails and texts all night, very mean, disrespectful. And it's okay for him to take out of his 401k and spend, say, $15,000-$20,000 on cars, and tells me he's allowed to do that, and he tells me I can't go buy groceries for the kids.
Wow.
We chose that I could stay home. I ended my business, my careers, when we had kids to have a better family. And I tried to go back to work, and I had a really bad injury. I've had 3 knee surgeries. Now he's blaming me for staying home with the kids. Then I guess you should have chose a career instead of staying home with the kids.
Hmm.
And he tells me I'm not allowed to touch his money, do different things.
What would he say if I ask him why he's doing this? What do you think he would tell me if I had him on the phone right now and I said, hey, this is what Cheryl just said. What's going on? What do you think he would say?
I'm making it up. I've gone to counseling. I've seeked God. I've prayed to God. I've gone to church. I've talked to ministers. And everybody says, Cheryl, the best thing for you to do is to divorce him. And I'm like, I'm scared. I'm like, I haven't been in the workforce in forever. And now he's rubbing off on my 16-year-old son, who is now lying and being very disrespectful to me and others.
Uh-huh.
And it's out of control.
Well, Cheryl, you know, you call with this huge, big problem. And I ask you, what is it that he would say if I had him on the line? And he said, you're lying to me. Whenever in a marriage someone says, well, that's not true, it's like a court. If you have the evidence, lay it on the table. You know, here's a statement. You know, here's a bank account. Here's a telephone record or whatever, and say, you know, here it is. I'm not making this up. In other words, in marriage, sometimes we've got to bring it to a head where we're facing the facts. These are facts. Because if he's believing that what you're saying is not true, then I think it's important for you to, because obviously you have some evidence, bring and show it to him. This is what we talk about in the book and Starve for Affection, about what we focus on, the idea of active respect, which really comes back to saying, I respect you so much, I'm willing to hold you accountable for this. And I think in marriage, we do that. We do it lovingly and so on. But, you know, you guys are way down the track here. It sounds like you're ready to pull the plug on your marriage. You know, you've pretty much made that decision. I'm a big advocate of making marriages work, but I'll tell you what, you can't make your marriage work unless you got two people who honor each other, respect each other, and are honest with each other. And so I think getting the facts on the table, the cards face up, if you please, if you can do that, if that's something that you can do with your spouse in a way that maybe even with a counselor or pastor or whoever, you know, get it out. Because right now it sounds like you guys are playing some games, and game playing in marriage just doesn't work.
Prayer does work in difficult financial times, putting God first. It really does work. My husband and I have intentionally been focused on getting out of debt. And so even when we purchased our house, the focus was not what we qualify for, but what can we really afford. And so when we purchased a house, we got something that was still in line with what we were already paying. We have not held back in giving our contribution to God, even though my hours were cut. It's just been totally God, and I think because of prayer and because of still putting God first.
Boy, doesn't it get any better than that, any wiser than that? That's good counsel. Thank you for sharing that. You know, when people ask me about intentional living, what is it? According, intuitively, we understand what being intentional means around a topic like money or marriage and family. But it's really a time-tested truth. It's not kind of like a new philosophy or a new religion. I'm not trying to start something here that's anything but a biblically-based approach to how we live. It's a time-tested truth that really comes from the DNA way back at the time of creation. God is very intentional. We see that. In the beginning, God could have said intentionally created the heavens and the earth, because he was very intentional in doing so. The whole 7 days of creation, you talk about intentional living. And then, of course, we see in the first three chapters of Genesis that man was created in God's image. And so we, too, have been created to be intentional. Here's what I found, though, over years of sharing this. Most everybody that I talk to resonate with the concept of being intentional. I don't think anybody says, well, no, that's kind of a stupid thing to do. I think we intuitively understand being intentional matters. But here's a reality. While all of us want more from our lives and our faith and our family and health and so on, only some want to get beyond just getting along or getting through or hanging on and experiencing freedom and peace. And those are the folks who choose to be intentional. And that's why we're here, to encourage and motivate you on that journey. And I want to say thanks to those of you helping us financially do this. Your year-end gift right now is so valued and appreciated. Go to theintentionallife.com, please, and join us. Theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717 and press number 4. Well, we'll see you coming up on Monday. Come and join us right here from Intentional Living.